Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
3:35, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Wednesday afternoon. Now, there is a lot, and I do mean a lot, that you and I are covering this afternoon. We've got our old buddy Jason Meares, the Attorney General of our beloved Commonwealth, coming by at 5:05. Talk a little bit about this big victory coming down from the Supreme Court. It should, by the way, should not be such a notable event. But, my God, it is a notable event that the Supreme Court of the United States said, yeah, you're right, Virginia, you non-citizens should not be voting. And we keep hearing from the leftists how we never, ever, 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 ever have any problems with non-citizens voting. So why, then, I must ask, were the leaders on the left fighting to get these 1,600 non-citizens back on the voting rolls here in our beloved Commonwealth? I mean, it makes no sense. It makes absolutely, positively no sense. So anyway, we'll talk with Jason Meares. We'll do that at 5:05. Tomorrow, we got my old buddy Chris Ruddy, the man who created Newsmax. They're getting ready to go public. Chris has been a longtime pal of Donald Trump's, and I thought it would be appropriate to bring him in as we get closer and closer to Election Day to talk a little bit about that. Monday, we've got both Bill O'Reilly and Dinesh D'Souza dropping by. Great show prior to the election. I think it's just going to be some great, great conversation that you and I are able to have. And that's a good thing. I have been so happy taking a look at some of the courageous writing in the area of Israel and Israeli action. Because we see the nonsense all the time, right? That Israel should just stand back and allow its people to be slaughtered. And every once in a while, you get somebody who is writing about it and telling the truth about it. Michael Levine is one of those guys. Been forever since I chatted with Michael, and I saw him come up here as just somebody I felt, truthfully, you needed to hear from. So I was happy to say he said yes. Michael, good afternoon, sir.
Sir, hello, 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 and thank you for very, very much for sharing your valuable audience with me.
Well, the pleasure is mine. It's been far too long, dude. I don't know how we drifted apart or something. I don't know. But I just want to jump into this, Michael. You tell us all a little bit about what it is that you are seeing, what you're doing as you are writing about Israel, and the sort of feedback you're getting.
Well, I'm not a foreign policy expert. I'm a Jewish American that happens to own a very prominent PR and branding firm. And I watch the news with a great deal of acuity because, some despair. There's some despair,
yeah,
too.
Okay.
So I think that Israel has demonstrated over the last couple of months that it knows how to win this war and prosecute this war,
yep,
that they did not ask for. That on October 7th, a bunch of savages dedicated to the eradication of Israel and all Jews on the planet started.
Yep.
And Israel has prosecuted this quite brilliantly, quite intensely. Now, of course, your enemy, as Israel's enemy, has a strategy that's utterly immoral, which is to hide its fighters among civilians. So, of course, there is civilian and collateral damage. That's horrible.
That's right.
No one, and Israel, most importantly, no one approves of that. However, the alternative of Israel's annihilation is not acceptable. This war was not started by Israel. and it has prosecuted it well. Mm-hmm. And the arrogance of America to try to suggest to a nation 10,000 miles away in the worst neighborhood imaginable how, from the air-conditioned offices of the White House, mm-hmm. where everything is safe and secure, and you have butlers and security, the world looks very different to you from that perspective than it does from the perspective of watching people, being president, prime minister of Israel, and watching people that you know, that you love, your people being savagely beaten, babies burned, breasts cut off women. This is Nazi-like behavior. The only difference is Nazis were smart enough to attempt to hide it. These people don't even hide it. They're proud of it. And so, you know, the old adage, when somebody tells you who they are, believe them,
mm-hmm.
Seems good. But I just don't understand. Listen, we have to face the facts. And whether you're a Democrat or a Republican or an independent, as I am, I'm not a Republican.
Mm-hmm.
We have to face the facts that in the 4 years that President Biden and Vice President Harris have been in that office, there is a general sense in the world that America is weakened.
Right.
It began most profoundly with that absolutely grotesque withdrawal in Afghanistan.
That's right.
Once the world saw the ineptitude and the disgraceful performance of this administration in that incident, it sent a psychic signal to the world that the party's on, that the game is on. Enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, President Biden, Secretary of State Antony Blinken, Vice President Harris, simply have not been able to convey a message of strength, of determination. They look, sound, and feel weak. And this is, again, not said by a Republican.
Right.
But as an American Jew, I would say this to you with all humility. And I'm a political independent, although I think of myself as a radical pragmatist. If you're Jewish and you are prepared to vote on Tuesday, and you care about the survival of your homeland or of Israel, the homeland of the Jewish people,
that's right.
I simply think that if you are considering voting, as many Jews do, for Democrats, I don't know how you reconcile this. It is cognitively dissonant. It is unexplainable mentally. I don't know how you do it. Now, you may not like Donald Trump. There are aspects of Donald Trump I don't like. But the world was empirically safer, more secure, because Donald Trump, obnoxious though he may be at times, conveys a sense of strength and determination. I mean, my God, the guy was shot in the head with a bullet, and he wouldn't give up. I mean, that is intense, as opposed to a man who could have a very difficult time walking up a flight of stairs. So, you know, I think if you're Jewish, the vote on behalf of Israel is a no-brainer. And I'm not saying you like Donald Trump. I am not. Who cares? I don't vote for people based on who I like. I vote on people based on who I think can do the best job. And there are many flaws with Donald Trump, but to vote as Ronald Reagan asked so beautifully in 1979, before you vote, you would be wise to ask yourself this question. Are you better off than you were?
Yep.
Do you feel more safe?
Yep.
Are you more optimistic? Is your income better? And once you ask that beautiful Ronald Reagan question, dear God, I fear that the question, the answer becomes clear, though maybe inconvenient for Democrats.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
No, that's a great phrase, inconvenient. Now, I have to let people know that Michael's career, and you've had a storied career, and if it's okay with you, I'd love to get you back again, because
sure.
As I said, it's been far too long since we've
sure.
had a chat on the air, but you're a PR meister, the king of PR. You took on PR challenges that, frankly, are case studies inside of courses now, because they said you got to be Meshuggah to take this guy as a PR client, and you said, "Watch here, hold my Bud Light. I'm going to show you how it's really done." But do you ever just shake your head as a PR genius looking at the White House and going, "Guys, you just don't get it, do you?"
They are so it's so interesting. The Democratic Party has become so unself-aware.
Yep.
They live in a bubble.
Yep.
Everyone they know thinks the same. They never ask the question. All they do is say, anyone who disagrees with you, me, is a Nazi, is a hater, is a sick. They just condemn. They never ask the question, wait a second now. Why is half this nation seeing this differently? They have no self-awareness that I can discern.
Mm-hmm.
And it's rather, and it's led, I think, to this party becoming unrecognizable. I'm not suggesting that regular, normal, historically traditional Democrats don't have good solutions for problems. I'm suggesting that this current crew, that the party has been completely and totally taken over by a radical left-wing contingency that really seems to want to create a suicide pact for America.
You're spot on, man. Well, I'll tell you what, Michael, I'm going to leave it there. And
okay.
I want to get you back if that's all right.
You got it.
Well, we got to talk about great stuff, Michael. I appreciate you sharing.
Thank you, brother.
And thank you.
Thank you for sharing your audience.
I love it, man. They are entitled to a good dose of somebody like you who knows what he's talking about. Michael,
thanks, friend.
He's a good guy. And I mean, when you hear what his backstory is, and seriously, Jerm, get Michael on again, I don't know, next week, the week after. I just like to work him back into the conversation because it's just been way too long. I saw the name pop out. I thought, oh, my God, Michael used to be a regular on the show. And how is he not a regular on the show anymore? But his career is in public relations. And public relations for folks like big time comedians and movie producers, and he was based in Hollywood forever and ever and ever and ever, and then decided to come east, and he wound up, if memory serves, in Brookline, Mass, which is like the People's Republic. If you think Boston is insane, Brookline is insane, but with a whole bunch of money. It's crazy, but Michael's a good dude, and I do like the fact, and I appreciate the fact that he has been speaking out, writing so passionately and poignantly on the issue of Israel. Again, I'm with him. If you're a Jew in the United States of America, and you are even thinking about voting for Kamala Harris, then I just don't understand you. Simple as that. It is 3:48. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.